have to have a release. You know, it's kind of like coming here this weekend, you know, and people say, why did you pick a Labor Day weekend to come? Because the Lord didn't say not to. I used to, when I first started, it was kind of like, we would try to pick a certain, what's the best weekend to do a meeting, What's the best Friday night? What's the best Saturday night? Well, we found out, okay, we're going to come this weekend. Well, no, that's not a good weekend because that's Labor Day weekend. Well, no, that's not a good Friday night because we got a football game that night. No, that's not a good night because that's Columbus Day. There was always some excuse. So I just came to a point where, following my pastor's advice, you set the meetings and you go.
Amen.
If you're hungry, you'll show up. You were hungry or you wouldn't have showed up tonight.
Hallelujah.
See, and those that weren't hungry, they didn't show up. That's okay. No problem. But I'm just saying, that's why it doesn't bother me. Even now, to this day, I still have some that surprise me. As long as they've been around me, they'll ask, well, why did you do it on Labor Day weekend? Well, because the Lord didn't say not to. I didn't have no check about it. I can't help it if you have better plans and aren't that hungry. I do what I can to change your hunger, but I can't decide for you. And so anyhow, so I'm glad you turned out tonight, even though it's Labor Day weekend. We're going to have a good time. I hope you're able to come every service this weekend. Pastor Shelley's going to be here in the morning. I have another one tomorrow evening, one Sunday morning. And then Pastor David and Cindy had to be out of town, so I'm going to be filling in for them on Sunday evening over at Ulysses. So we're here for the weekend. I love the weather. It's beautiful here. No humidity. I love it. You got it made. No humidity, no rattlesnakes. You got it made. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. It's funny how, I've noticed over the years, I've learned a lot. I was told a lot, I was taught a lot, but, when you have to walk through certain things and you have to see people go through things and you go through things yourself, you just learn a lot. It's like everything else, and I see people get under pressure about things and they fold up, like a deck of cards under pressure, And what you got to understand is that the enemy is always going to, no matter where you're at or what position you're in and what locale you're in, the enemy's going to turn up pressure upon your life and try to get you to buckle under from what you're doing for God. And I've had people, especially in small churches like this, They'll come to a place like the prayer center for a conference, and in that prayer and power conference atmosphere, that camp meeting atmosphere, it's different than being in the trenches. It's all hip hip hooray and let's go, go get them, And all the go get in prayer and go get them, beat the devil down, and then you charge in there with a squirt gun, It's easy to do in that atmosphere.
Amen.
And, and people will say, man, I'd like to go to church here at the prayer center. That'd be wonderful. I think I'm going to quit where I'm living out at Elkhart and I'm just going to move to Tulsa and go to the prayer center to church. And I don't know how many times I've heard that, not here from Elkhart, but from other places. And I'm going to move to the prayer center and go. And I've seen pastors, not just regular everyday believers, but I've seen pastors move clear across the United States to come to the prayer center. And they probably, they probably needed to be there and probably were supposed to be there. And they would come there, boy, we're so excited to come to the prayer center. Well, the pressure, you can imagine what the pressure, what the pressure is here in this church following the message. Well, the pressure there at the prayer center is even greater. And so they'll move there, you know, all hip, hip, hooray. You know, we're ready to come to the prayer center. And they'll last about a month or 2 months. You know, I've seen pastors move across the United States and last a month or two or maybe 6 months and not accomplish anything because the pressure was still turned up on them. It might have been a wonderful place to be, and it was. And they might have been supposed to be there, but the pressure is going to get turned up on you no matter where you're at. And so they'll move there, and they'll last about a month. And then first thing you know, you can't even find them. You know, well, there's a reason for that. You know, the devil doesn't. He doesn't want you to get any farther in this message, whether you're here at Elkhart or whether you're in Tulsa. He doesn't want you to get any farther in this message than because you become dangerous.
That's right.
You can start doing something for the kingdom of God. You become a vessel that God can use. And so that pressure is turned up, you know. And then you have this other pressure while you're at the prayer center. And that pressure is to pray and to seek God. Others around you are praying. Others around you are seeking God. And they're encouraging you to do so. So you can't be left alone. Here, you can escape it. You just hide out from Pastor Earl and you got it made. If I can just hide out from him, I'm okay. You know, I just won't show up at church. Well, there, you know, you got people who will go after you. You know, and the pressure is still turned up. It doesn't matter where you're at. See? And they'll disappear. We'd have to go look for them. Well, you can only do so much of that. You can't make a person pray.
That's right.
You can't make a person worship God. You can't make a person seek out God and get close to God. You can't make them do that. It has to be in them to want to. You can show them the way and guide them, you know, and support them, hold their hand a little bit. But you can't make them do it. And so, you know, they'll think, boy, you know, I'm here at Elkhart. You know, I use this as an example, but it happens everywhere. You know, I'm here at Elkhart, and you know, I'm just not getting anything. You know, that Tulsa is a wonderful place. That prayer center is a wonderful place. I think I'll move there. But the problem with that is that when you move from Elkhart to Tulsa, you're still there. It's still you. You're still there. It didn't. Just because you changed locations, that don't mean anything. You can quit here and go somewhere else and you're still you.
That's right.
See? You're still the one that has to change. So you get there and the pressure's even greater there. You know, the enemy's turned up the heat there a lot more because they're fending for a revival, you know, and they've been at this message for quite some time. They went through a lot of crowds and they haven't been moved off of the message. So the enemy's even sending more pressure there, you know. So, you know, first thing you know, they're gone. You can't find them anywhere. They came to Tulsa to go to church there and they can't even stay in church there. Couldn't stay in church here, couldn't stay in church there. Well, that's the devil. That's the devil at work. And he's using stuff that's inside us.
That's right. Amen.
See, it's not the pastor's fault. Because your relationship, your personal relationship with God doesn't depend on this pastor or me or any other pastor. You've got to decide that you're going to seek out God and develop that relationship. You know, he should be able to help you, guide you, direct you, give you the Word of God, feed you along, your sheep, so He feeds you along. But it's you that decide whether you want, how far you want to go into God, how far you want to take this. So, I don't know how many times I've seen them move there, you know, and they're still there. You know, they were the same as they were somewhere else. I mean, I'm not talking about just believers. I'm talking about pastors and preachers. I've seen a lot of things. Get up and make some glorious statement in the middle of church. We moved here from California. We're so excited to be here. I brought my gift with me. You're so blessed that I brought my gift with me. A month later, we're so-and-so. I don't know. Nobody knows. They just disappeared. Hey, they brought the same problems from California to the prayer center.
Amen.
And the devil was able to use what he used in California, he was able to use it there at the prayer center. So there's an atmosphere there at the prayer center that makes it a lot easier to stay in prayer from all of the praying that's been done there. But you still have to confront what's inside you. See? False doctrine. Wrong teachings. Emotional problems. You know. False doctrine. Did I say that? Deception. You know. Well, it's the pastor's fault. No, no. It's what's in you. It's what's in you. You know, you got in prayer. It started being exposed a little bit. The devil came along and twisted you a little bit. And the only way you can escape that pressure is to leave. And even then, it's only temporary. It's only temporary because, you know, you got to face it sometime. You can face it right here in Elkhart, Kansas.
Amen.
You can face it in Tulsa. You can face it in Ulysses. But you're going to have to face it somewhere. Or you'll be the same way for the rest of your life. Over and over and over. Well, preacher, why don't you change your message? Why?
Amen. Come on.
Why? You know, this message works.
Thank you.
You know, I'm called to change lives.
Thank you, Lord. You know,
and if I have to keep pounding the message inside you to get your life changed, that's what I'll do. You know, there's lots of things we could preach about. But hey, let's go ahead and make the changes so we can go on to something else.
Amen.
You know, but you're here. You're here this weekend. That's a start.
Hallelujah.
But, you know, in case you've been wondering what's happening, it's just the enemy cranking up the pressure on this place. This is not news. We've mentioned this a time or two. But it would happen. Man, he must be a prophet.
Amen.
He told me this would happen. No.
Amen.
No. I've just seen it happen. Happens everywhere. You start praying. You start going in after God. Doing everything you can to go after God. And to get closer to God. Well, the enemy, he's not going to let you slide by. End up causing revival in this place and turning it upside down in this town. He's not going to let you get by with that. That's how whole generations are born again. That's how revivals are caused throughout the world. If somebody got loose with God and went for it. See? So in case you wondered what's happening to you part of the time, it's the enemy turning up that pressure. Try to get you to quit. I don't know how many times I've heard this. There must be something wrong. I don't feel right when I go to church. There must be something wrong. Must be something wrong with the pastor. That's always the first thing, you know. Let's point to the pastor. But that's what the devil's going to say every time. Every time. You gotta face him and say, I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna leave. I'm not gonna buckle under the pressure. I'm gonna keep going. And not stop. Not stop praying, not stop fasting, not stop worshiping God, not stop getting in the Word of God. You gotta keep going with all of it that you're being taught. You'll come out on the other side, I promise you, you will. You'll come out on the other side. Well, what if my husband doesn't come with me? What if my wife doesn't come with me? Well, hey, they're not going to be holding your hand when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. See? Hey, while I'm at it, I'm still making this stand. I can't tell you how to vote. But I can tell you this, unless you want the blood of millions of babies on your hands, you better seek God and find out who's the most righteous and vote for the most righteous person you can vote for. You say, well, do I have a choice? Nope. You got a choice on whether to be born again. After that, you make a decision on whether to follow God. So you do the things that God does. You say, well, none of them's perfect. I don't like any of them. I agree. They're not. But you're still called as a believer to put in the most righteous in these offices that you can get in there. That's what you're called for. Well, I tell you what, I don't find anybody very righteous that believes in partial birth abortions. A baby being born and killing it. Partially born and then killing it. I don't find that very righteous. I don't see anything righteous to that picture. So I can't tell you who to vote for, but I can encourage you to get on your knees and start praying that the most righteous will be elected. Now, many times, you know, Christians are some of the worst about voting for two chickens in a pot. I'd rather have two chickens in the pot, so I'm going to vote for who will give me two chickens in a pot. I need to add on a third garage, so I'm going to vote for the one that can help me add on that third garage. In other words, vote with their pocketbook. Christians are the worst. Hey, we're called. We're called by God to stand righteous. Make a righteous stand. And stand therefore. And not stop. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father, for the most righteous. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the most righteous. And while I'm at it, Father, I thank you right now that that hurricane is dissipated.
Amen.
Totally torn apart, dissipated, dissolved in thin air.
Amen.
Why don't you just vote that it moves? Or why don't you just pray that it moves somewhere else?
Move over and kill somebody else? Why would I do that? How about pray that it'll be dissipated? Be gone. It hurts nobody. How about that? You know, I've had these intercessors come up from these churches. I just thought of one.
We prayed that that hurricane would slide over and go the other direction.
I thought, you flaky thing.
We prayed and it slid over and moved the other direction.
So instead of this bunch getting killed, God didn't like this bunch, so it got killed. Because He moved the hurricane over. I don't think so. Now, this is a true story. I don't think so. Where was that at? At the prayer center? At a conference? You can see anything at a conference.
Hallelujah.
We might not let this tape get out.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Nah, Pastor Dave will agree with me. He's heard a lot more than I have. Anyhow, you need to, as Christians, as believers, you need to get on your knees and start praying that the most righteous will be elected. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But I mainly tonight just wanted you to know, you know, what was happening to you here. You know, and it's just pressure that the enemy's turning up on you. If he can disintegrate the body, you know, if he can divide you, or you know, catch one off to the sides, take that person out, catch another one off to the side, take that one out. You know, that's what he'll do, one by one, several at a time. Whatever he can do, that's what he'll do. You know, get this one mad at this one. Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. Well, they don't want my gift, so I'm not coming. Hey, that's the enemy talking to you. That's the devil talking to you. Don't let him do that to you. You don't have to put up with stuff like that. Just make a stand. No, I'm not going to listen to that. See, I get a chance all the time to say, well, I'm not going to preach anymore. You know, I'm just going to stop preaching. I can make money in business. I've done it before. I'm just going to stop preaching. It would be okay if I called myself. But I didn't call me.
That's right.
God's the one that called me to preach. So if God called me to preach, who am I to decide not to preach? See, well, it's the same regardless whether you're preaching in my spot or you're doing what you're called to do. If you're called to do something by God, He's the one that will change your call or move you into a different position. It's not for you to decide. All you got to do is decide, am I going to finish my course? But whatever your course is, then you finish it, come hell or high water. You finish it.
Amen.
See? I didn't decide to call Charlie to preach. God called me to preach. So He'll have to be the one that uncalls me. Even though, I agree, sometimes I'd like to say, hey, forget it. You know, you don't know how many times I've thought that. And God speaks, reminds me who called me, usually in the form of my wife. So if He called you to be here, then it doesn't matter who gets mad at you. You just go to Him, I'm sorry, forgive me, and stay. You know, if that don't do any good, stay anyhow.
Amen.
See, it's God that called you here to eternal harvest. I didn't call you here. Pastor Earl didn't call you here. God called you here. Usually when He calls us to a place, to a thing or to a place, to do something, it's for a long period of time. From what I can see in the Word of God, it's nothing short term about it. You know, many times we've had people to come to us while we're leaving the church because it's just too much of a fight. If it was easy, everybody'd be doing it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, don't worry. If people are falling apart around you, things are falling apart around you, don't worry about it. It's just the devil. It's just the devil turning up the heat on the body of Christ. This, you know, I have pastors say, you wouldn't believe what's happening to me. I don't think anybody else has my problems. Well, it's the same thing happening in every church. You know, they'll describe to a T what's happening out here. Or hear what's happening there, whatever. You know, because it's the same devil, the same tricks. See? So just make a stand. I'm not gonna quit. I'm gonna keep going. Hallelujah. Hey, the reward in the end is worth it.
Hallelujah.
You may not see all of it while you're here on earth. You may only get to see a portion of what you stood for. But there'll come a day you'll get to see the full picture. Hallelujah. Glory. can't wait for that day. But meanwhile, we still fight the battle. We still keep going. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Does that bother you that there's not very many people here tonight?
No. I'm having a good time. I came to have a good time this weekend regardless. I didn't come out here because somebody said, well, we're going to have a certain amount of people or something like that. That wasn't what brought me out here. I made a decision 2 years ago. Right? A little over 2 years ago to come out here. Until God changes that, well, hey, here I am.
Praise God.
Thank you,
Jesus.
What's that song they play on TV? I've heard about it. Yeah. Here I am, stuck in the middle of you. Yeah, right here with you. Something like that. I don't know. Doesn't sound familiar to you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory. I just love listening and hearing Him.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. A few have disappeared in the past weeks, months. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I understand you got that CD. That message of Jim Mark. That prophecy that was on there also. Yeah. Stay humble. Stay humble. Don't get prideful. Just because you stuck it out, they didn't. Don't get prideful about it.
That's right.
Stay humble. They'll be back. They'll be back. Hallelujah. Well, I want to go into this just a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Starting in verse 5. See, you gotta trust God no matter what. No matter what your situation is. No matter what you're going through. You've got to trust Him that He's going to bring you through. And take you out on the other side. That's all that you got to do. I know that sometimes that's hard. You know, we want to. Boy, you know, sometimes, you know, especially to begin with, you know, we think, I don't know whether He's going to be able to pull me through this or not. Well, starting in verse 5, he said, therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. He's talking about the gift here that they had for him. You know, and I'm talking about it in general tonight. You know, about that grace that brings you through. And you're trusting Him, putting your trust all in God to take you through. Well, it's the same way in giving. Let's read on here just a little bit more. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And he's not talking about reaping money there.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And we talked about in the offering tonight about purposing in your heart what you're going to give. Well, you know, that's just one form of giving. You know, we can the best deal for you is, like we've talked about in the past, is learn to hear God's voice. Because if you can hear Him about money, you can hear Him about a lot of things. Because that money's what's got the hold on most people. So, you know, but He says, you know, hey, you can give, you know, as you purpose in your heart. I purpose in my heart to give this. Well, you can purpose in your heart to do something. And you purpose in your heart that I'm going to do this within the body, I'm going to do this within the church, and I'm going to do it cheerfully. Regardless of how much heat is turned up in the body of Christ, how much heat is turned up in the church, I'm still going to do it, but I'm not going to do it grudgingly, I'm going to do it cheerfully. Let's take it on a little farther. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Now you purpose in your heart, and you're going to do this cheerfully, and He's going to make all grace abound toward you. You say, well, I'm going to purpose in my heart tonight to give $1,000. And He's going to make all grace. Well, okay, let's make it $100, whatever. The amount doesn't matter. I'm going to purpose in my heart to give a certain amount in the offering. I'm going to purpose in my heart, this is what I want to do in my heart. I couldn't hear God's voice, one reason or the other, but I'm going to purpose in my heart right now that I'm going to give this certain amount. Well, hey, here's what the grace does. The grace causes you to walk in faith that you're doing the right thing and that you can trust Him. That no matter what He asks you to do, He's still going to come through for you. Not because of what you sowed or planted. Because you purposed in your heart to do something for God, get in on what He's doing, and you had a cheerful heart about it. You purposed in your heart to do this. And He caused all grace to abound to you that you wouldn't go without anything. It wasn't that you sowed something and got something back. You purposed in your heart and done it with a cheerful manner, a cheerful heart. And His grace supplied everything that you needed. Caused that grace to pour out on you. And it's that way with everything. You purpose in your heart to do a certain thing in the body of Christ and to do it cheerfully. That causes you to walk in the grace and that trust in Him that you get everything met in your life because you purposed in your heart to do what God wanted you to do. You purposed in your heart that you're going to do something for God. You're going to go forward with Him regardless what's happening around you. And this grace is poured out on you. That every need is met because you purposed in your heart that you're going to serve God. Do something for the kingdom of God. See, it doesn't apply just to money. So we said, I'm going to sow $100, so therefore I'm going to reap $1,000. You're going to purpose in your heart. Yeah, you're going to sow, you know, into the kingdom of God, but what you're going to reap is souls in heaven.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
That's what you're going to reap. You're not going to reap money. It doesn't say that. It's talking about that you're going to reap righteousness on down the road. Well, let's just go ahead and read it. I don't want you to not see it. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. You know, don't give just because you need something. I need $1,000 by next week. So I'm going to give 100 today. Well, that throws that out right quick because he said not to do that.
Amen.
Took care of that, didn't we? Nailed that one in the head real quick. For God loves a cheerful giver. You purposed in your heart, you want in on what God is doing in this church. You want in on what God is doing in the world today. So you purposed in your heart that you're going to do this. But he said up there that he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. So it sounds like he's talking about if you're going to sow a lot of money, you're going to reap a lot of money. If you're going to sow a little bit of money, you're going to reap a little bit. Well, you have to read the whole thing, see. You have to keep going. First of all, he says, to do it with a good heart, not grudgingly, but to do it purpose in your heart that you want to do something for the kingdom of God. You want to get in on what God is doing. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, not because you that you sowed a great amount of money, but because of the condition of your heart. The condition of your heart was that you'd done this because you purposed in your heart, you wanted to get in on what God was doing, and you'd done it cheerfully. You've done it with a good heart. I help the church with a good heart because I want to get in on what God is doing. I do it with a cheerful heart. I sweep the floors. I clean the bathroom. I go out and invite people. I bring people in my car and bring them to church. Make sure they got a ride. I do it cheerfully. And He makes all grace abound toward you. Not because you made 100 trips picking up people. Then you get into works. See. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for what? Hey, let me tell you something. You start sowing into the kingdom of God, whether it be money or time or whatever, He's going to make sure all grace abounds toward you, to you, unto you, and you're going to end up having more than enough left over to even do more for the kingdom of God. One thing just leads to another. Yeah, He has laws of sowing and reaping, all right. It's just that some people in the body of Christ in the past have taken it and said, well, if you sow $100, you get $1,000,000. If you sow $1,000, you get $10,000. That's not what He's saying here. He's saying because of your attitude of heart, because what you purposed in your heart to do, that all grace is being made abundant to you, and now you're going to have everything you need. And He didn't say necessarily money. How about all the time you need to pray with? How about all the time you need to spend with your family? Well, you know, I just, you know, I got to put my family first before God. Hey, you want time with your family? You want to see your family prosper? You need to put God first.
Amen.
You put God first, you can have everything you need for your family because all grace abounds toward you.
Amen.
You're given everything you need. God promised it in His Word. So yeah, there's laws of sowing and reaping. Let's go on and read a little bit farther. As it is written, He has dispersed abroad, He has given to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. Now may He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed that you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now, where is it in there? Can you show me where it says, if you sow money, you're going to reap money? See, when you sow in the kingdom of God, whether it be finances, whether it be time, regardless what it is, you're sowing that you may reap souls in heaven, that you may reap a reward in heaven. You're going to see some results of it here on earth. It's not going to be just in heaven. You'll see some of it here on earth.
Hallelujah.
But not all of it. You reap righteousness because of what you're sowing into the kingdom of God with a good heart. So the next time you get an opportunity to do something for God grudgingly, just get on your knees and say, I think not.
That's right.
I'm going to do it with a good heart, a cheerful heart, because all grace abounds toward me. And He's going to supply everything that I have need of, whether it be in the body and the natural, whether it be emotionally in the soul, or whether it be spiritually, He's going to supply all of it because I chose to do it with a good heart. See? Don't let the devil beat you out. Don't let the devil change your direction. Oh, he can sound slick at times. He can even sound like he's God. Start speaking to you and really sound like it's God. Of course, most people, he don't really have to do that too much. Just turn up the pressure a little bit and they're gone a different direction. See? But he can do that. He can try to sound almost like God. Deceive you out of doing what you were supposed to be doing. So the next time that you're asked to give, you know, whether it be in an offering in the church or God asks you to give outside, or let's say you see a need, you can't really hear His voice on it, but you decide you want a purpose in your heart, just purpose in your heart to do it cheerfully. If you can't do it cheerfully, don't do it. Get on your knees before God until you can. But know this, that all grace is going to abound toward you. And every need that you have is going to be met.
Hallelujah.
See? Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Glory be to God.
I thought I get $5, I get 50.
God, not quite. It doesn't say that in the Word of God. But you will reap in heaven. You will reap in the area of righteousness because of those souls you help get saved, turn toward God. We have many, many results from Peru, you know, in the past where people would write, say, I'm so glad you came because I came to your meeting drunk with alcohol. I couldn't hardly stand up. I got born again in your crusade. Now I'm preaching the gospel. Who do you think's going to reap? That's not going to be me. I might reap a little bit, but hey, the person that supplied for me to be able to go and preach the gospel is the one that's really going to reap, and they don't even know each other yet. Yet. They will.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's just an example. And it can be of your time or it can be of anything. But keep a good heart. Don't let the devil use your neighbor to talk you out of it. To move you off of it. What you're supposed to be doing.
Thank you, Jesus.
Say.
Good preacher.
Am I getting anywhere tonight?
Amen.
You've been talking to Pastor Earl.
No. You heard him. He wondered what happened to me. No.
didn't think I had anything to preach tonight. I just about went back home.
Hallelujah.
She said, you always say that. You don't have anything to preach. And then you get up there and you always got something to preach.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Don't let him talk you out of it. Don't let him take it away from you. He's trying to take a reward away from you.
Amen.
Don't let him do it. Stand. Stand there for. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Okay, go ahead and stand.
All right.
Hallelujah.